1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we read the whole chapter, and we take as the text this morning verse 18. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep, as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore comfort yourselves together, and edify one another, even as also ye do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you, and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. And be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. Despise not prophesyings. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that called you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with an holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. So far, the reading of God's holy, infallible word. The text this morning is found in verse 18. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Every year when Thanksgiving Day comes around, the question must necessarily be asked, what is the purpose and what is the meaning of Thanksgiving Day? Well, for the child of God, the answer is easy. It's a day in which we set aside time in order to come together as a church body and worship God and give him thanks for his care over our life. We give thanks always, but on Thanksgiving Day, we come together as God's people and thank God for what he is doing in our lives, what he has done, and his love over us. And it's good that we do this. God deserves all our days and God deserves all our thanks. It's but a small thing for us to come together this morning and give God thanks. But what does Thanksgiving Day mean for those who aren't Christians? What does this day mean for those who don't acknowledge that all things come from God's providential hand. When the people of this world gather this afternoon around their dinner tables and they have that turkey in front of them and they're about to begin, to whom are they to direct their thanks? Not acknowledging that these things come from God. Are they to give thanks to themselves for what they have before them? Are they to give thanks to Lady Luck or chance or fate? You see, Thanksgiving Day and the whole idea of giving thanks in the culture around us has become quite meaningless and empty. And the people of this world realize that this day is quite devoid of any meaning and value for them. That's obvious from what takes place on this day and what happens throughout this week. All week long, we're bombarded by Thanksgiving sales and advertisements, showing us all the things that money can buy, all the things that we can set our affections on and lust after. What happens on Black Friday? But the shopping centers are bombarded and crowded with hordes of people going into debt, satisfying their own earthly lusts. And even on Thanksgiving Day, what do people do? But they become gluttons. And they spend the whole day in entertainment, watching football games and other things. And although Thanksgiving sales and football games aren't wrong in and of themselves, the whole idea of actually giving thanks on this day is overlooked. And it's almost as if it's deliberately pushed to the side. And then what about for those people in the world who, from an earthly perspective, don't seem to have much to be thankful for? What is Thanksgiving Day for them but a reminder that other people have it better off than they do? It's a reminder of the things that they don't have and of the things they lack. For many, this day is a day of bitterness. A day of bitterness that they try to drown out by shopping, by entertainment, and by eating. When it comes down to it, the people of this world don't have any real use for a true Thanksgiving Day. But because we live in this world, beloved, and because the abuse of this day is so rampant, we also are tempted and are threatened by this way of thinking. We're tempted also to fall into the same kinds of sins of greed and gluttony. Instead of using this day to thank God for everything, we're tempted to use this day for the exact opposite. To focus our attention on the things we don't have, the things we lack, and on the things we quote-unquote need in our lives. But what we need, beloved, is to remind ourselves this morning that of all people, for us as Christians, this day has real and true meaning. This day has purpose for us as Christians. After looking this morning at the true meaning of what it is to give thanks, we're going to see this morning that it's really only the Christian who has a reason to give thanks. We're also going to see this morning that it's really only the Christian who can give thanks, with whom it's possible to give true thanksgiving. In order to help us give thanks this morning, let us focus for a short while this morning on 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18. We do so taking as our theme, giving thanks in everything. We consider first the meaning, second the reason, and third the possibility. Giving thanks in everything. The meaning, the reason, the possibility. The Apostle Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18, in everything, give thanks. But in order to give thanks, we must first understand what it is to give thanks. What is the meaning of giving thanks? Well, we can break down that idea of giving thanks into two components or two elements. First, true thanksgiving involves this. It involves having the heartfelt desire and aim that God receive the glory, and to acknowledge that all things come from our Father's glorious and almighty hand. Our aim in thanksgiving must be to give glory to God. That is a part of true thanksgiving is clear from a number of biblical examples. In 1 Chronicles 29, verse 13, when David calls the people of Israel to give for the building of the temple, and the people give generously, David goes to God in prayer and gives him thanks. But how does David give God thanks at that time? David says there, "Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name." David thanks God by glorifying God's name. In Daniel 2, verse 23, Daniel prays and gives God thanks for giving him the ability to interpret the dreams of Nebuchadnezzar. And what does Daniel do there when he gives God thanks? We read there, "I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of our fathers." Daniel also thanks God by praising him. And in the New Testament, we have the example of the 10 lepers whom Jesus healed of their leprosy. They went on their way, as Jesus told them, to go to the temple, and on their way they were healed of their leprosy. But we read that only one of those lepers returned to give Jesus the thanks he was worthy of. And how does that man show his thanks to Jesus? We read in Luke 17, verse 16, "And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks." In giving our thanks to God, our aim is to give God the glory. And as obvious as that might seem to us, that's something that's important to remember. Because for many, when they give thanks, their focus isn't on glorifying God's name, but their focus is on themselves and giving themselves the glory. Just think of the parable of the Pharisee and the publican and what the Pharisee said in his prayer. We read there, "The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, 'God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, and I give tithes of all that I possess.'" That Pharisee was giving thanks to God, but that Pharisee's thanksgiving was no true thanksgiving at all. He was focusing not on giving God the glory, but on boasting in his own works and his own accomplishments. Think also of the 10 tribes of Israel in the Old Testament, just before God was going to deliver them into the hand of the Assyrians. We've been studying this as young adults when we've been looking at the book of Amos. The Israelites at that time kept up their worship services, and they kept giving God those sacrifices of thanksgiving. But they didn't care at all about giving God the glory in what they were doing. In Amos 4, verse 5, God speaks to the people with sarcasm and tells them this, "And offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving with leaven, and proclaim and publish the free offerings. For this liketh you, O ye children of Israel, saith the Lord God." God was saying there, "You can give me all the thanksgiving you want, but I hate it. Because your thanksgiving has no concern at all for my glory or for obeying my commandments and my will in your lives." This attitude is also prevalent today. I dare say that many on this day are going to bow their heads around the dinner table and give a prayer of thanksgiving. They give these prayers to a God that they don't even know. They give thanks to a God they don't know, and they show gratitude to a God that they don't even care about. Their own concern is their own glorifying their own name. Otherwise, they would live their whole lives as a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Their thanksgiving is no true thanksgiving at all. When our families gather around the kitchen table this afternoon and we bow our heads in prayer, what is our aim going to be? Is our aim going to be like the Pharisee and give thanks to God, glorifying ourselves, showing God what we have been able to accomplish and accumulate through His gifts? Will our aim be to observe custom and tradition in our homes, as Israel in the Old Testament did, and give that prayer of thanksgiving and get through it as fast as we can so that we can dig into the food? Or will our aim be that God truly receive the glory in our prayers? And that God be praised in our prayers and in the fellowship around that dinner table. And that God be praised in our whole lives, day after day. True thanksgiving, you see, necessarily involves giving God the glory for everything. And ultimately, true thanksgiving involves confessing that without Jesus Christ in our lives, we have nothing. To give thanks is to confess that without the cross, without God's mercy and grace, all our accomplishments, everything we have in our homes will be worthless, empty, meaningless, and vain, because we wouldn't be using it for the glory of God's name. It involves confessing that without God's mercy and blessing, even the food we eat this afternoon would only be bring a greater curse upon us, because we wouldn't be using that food to glorify God, but only to sin against Him. True thanksgiving means humbling ourselves and giving God all the thanks and glory for what He has given us. The second element of true thanksgiving is this: that we have a sincere joy and contentment in our hearts for what God has given us and for what God is doing in our lives. True thanksgiving involves joy and gladness. That this is the case is obvious when we look at that word for thanksgiving. Embedded in the Greek, embedded right in the middle of that word for to give thanks, we find another word: grace. Really, the word means to give grace or to show a favor. And the idea is this: someone has blessed us and we are to respond to their blessing by showing them a joyful expression of thanksgiving. To thank God is to have the attitude that we are truly content and truly satisfied with how God is fulfilling His purposes in and through our lives. And that true thanksgiving involves an attitude of joy and gladness is obvious from our own experiences. Just think of the little child who at Christmas time unwraps his gift and doesn't like what he sees. We know that that child isn't thankful for what he's given because he's showing an attitude that he's discontent and unhappy. And we teach that child to say thank you for that gift because we want to teach the child they need to have a different attitude when it comes to receiving gifts. They need to have an attitude of joy and contentment and happiness for what they've been given. When we look at this second element of true thanksgiving, it becomes clear why it's sometimes very difficult for us to give true thanksgiving. Because, you see, true thanksgiving is not just speaking things off our lips, but true thanksgiving involves an attitude of the heart. It's an attitude that says, in the things that God has given to me, in the situations and circumstances of my life, I am not only content and satisfied, but I am glad and happy. When we struggle to give God that kind of thanks, it's because we're struggling with a heart attitude problem. We're struggling with that old man of sin within us that doesn't want to give thanks for the things God sends our way. Now, when we say that we need to give God and to show God gladness and happiness when we give thanks, this is not to say that we need to be ecstatic or thrilled with the things God sends our way. God teaches us plainly in His Word that in trials and struggles, we're going to have to bear patiently. And with adversities and afflictions, we will have to endure through them. Nevertheless, even during those trials and hardships, it's still possible for us, and God still wants us to give Him that kind of thanksgiving. To give Him a thanksgiving that says we're content, we're happy with this situation in my life. What Paul means here by giving thanks then is this: we tell God we're happy with His plans. We're glad with how He is fulfilling His purposes in and through my life. We tell Him we're glad that His will is being accomplished through the circumstances in my life. When we give thanks in the midst of sorrow, the thanks we give is not a hypocritical or an insincere thanks, but it's a thanks that confesses that God's will is good. God's will is always good. And that God's will is better than my will. And when we give thanks in the midst of sorrows, the thanksgiving we bring is this. We say that even as hard as it may be, we would rather have God's will be done in our lives rather than have our own wills be done. We want God's purposes to come to pass in and through our lives. That's part of true thanksgiving. And in the text, Paul emphasizes and stresses that kind of thanksgiving, having a true joy and gladness in our heart, when he adds those words, in everything. In everything, Paul says, we must give thanks. And those two words, in everything, are all inclusive. At all times, in all places, in all our circumstances of life, everywhere and anywhere, we must give God the thanks. It doesn't mean we give thanks for the good and we endure reluctantly and unwillingly through the bad. It doesn't mean we give thanks for the good and ignore and push to the side the bad. It doesn't mean we give thanks for the good and say that the bad doesn't come from God, but it comes from somewhere else. But true thanksgiving means acknowledging all things in my life are coming from God's fatherly hand, and that I give God the glory for what He sent my way. Receiving all things from God's hand with joy and contentment, and responding to all of God's works in our lives with those words, thank you. When we read this verse, and when we read especially those words in everything, and we read this verse in connection with the immediate context, the impression we might get is that Paul writes these words somewhat offhandedly, as if this is just another item in a checklist. Notice that with me. In verse 15 already, see that none render evil for evil unto any man. Verse 16, rejoice evermore. Verse 17, pray without ceasing. 18, in everything give thanks. Verse 19, quench not the spirit. The impression we might get is that Paul has written these words rather quickly. But when we understand the church to whom Paul is writing, when we understand their own circumstances, we realize this verse is weighty and significant. Because the church that Paul gives this command to is a church that had experienced and was experiencing many afflictions and hardships. First, the members of the church at Thessalonica had endured fierce persecution. They were new converts to the faith. They were happy that they now could call themselves Christian and live as Christians in the world. But this meant ridicule and mocking and harm from their acquaintances and neighbors. We read that the persecution was so fierce that Paul himself had to escape the city in the middle of the night to escape persecution and possibly death. And second, the members of the church at Thessalonica were mourning the death of loved ones. The impression we get is that some in the church at Thessalonica had died a martyr's death. They had died for the sake of God's glory and God's kingdom. And the members in the church were grieving over the loss of these loved ones. And they were mourning over their friends at a time when, as new believers, they didn't even know what they were supposed to believe concerning death and the resurrection and the hope of eternal glory. And then besides all these things, it appears as if there were tensions within the church at Thessalonica. Some members were critical of Paul's preaching and questioned Paul's motives. And some members in the church were unhappy and disgruntled with some of the morals and the lifestyles of other members in the church at that time. And yet Paul, writing this letter, at the very end of the letter, tells the congregation and the members, in all these things, give thanks. You're suffering persecution because you're Christians? Give thanks. You're mourning the death of loved ones. Loved ones have been taken from you and are in eternal glory. Give thanks. There's sin that has to be dealt with in the midst of the congregation. Tensions and sins you need to come face to face with. Give thanks. In everything, give thanks. Well, these words aren't merely Paul's words to the church at Thessalonica, are they? But they're Christ's words to the church of God this morning. These are the words of Christ to Loveland Protestant Reformed Church. In everything, give thanks. For the name and the place that we have here in this church, give thanks. For the families and the members and individuals, young and old alike, give thanks. For the rich heritage of the Reformed faith. For the church order we have that calls us to corporate worship this morning. For the creeds and confessions in the back of our Psalter. For the preaching of the gospel at this late hour in history. Give thanks. For the memory work that you have to do in your catechism classes. For the Bible studies that we have the privilege of preparing for. For the consistory and the council meetings that sometimes take much of our time and energy and take away from the time and energy of our families also. Give thanks for the denomination we belong to, for the unity we enjoy. Give thanks. But also in your own personal lives and situations, in everything, give thanks. For the persecution you might be suffering for your faith, for your struggles at work, for the sacrifices that you and your family might have had to make already. Give thanks. In the marriage bond, in the marriage relationship, in the single life, with children, without children, with children who are walking in the faith, with children who don't seem to have any faith. For God pointing out your weaknesses time and time again, keeping you humble. For health and sickness, for health, for food and drink, for the crops and the harvest, for the rain and the sunshine, but also for sickness, for drought, for hard times. For everything that God gives to you, for everything that God takes away from you, give thanks. For God's sovereign rule over our nation and the state of the nation at this time, give thanks. For the growth of wickedness in this nation, insofar as that also is serving God's purposes in a way we don't see clearly yet, give thanks. For the freedom to have our own Christian schools, for the freedom to do mission work and evangelism, for the realization that one day these things will be taken away from us. Give thanks. In everything, give thanks. And notice, this isn't just an option for the Christian. Paul writes these words as a command. And this is Christ's gentle command to His church today. In everything, give thanks. But why? What's the reason we have for giving thanks? Well, we have that reason in the second half of the verse. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. We give thanks because this is God's revealed will for our lives. In Scripture, the Spirit emphasizes again and again that we must give God the thanks. In Ephesians 5, verses 18 and 20, we read, "Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, giving thanks always in all things unto God and the Father in our Lord Jesus Christ." In Colossians 2, verse 7, we are exhorted to abound in thanksgiving. In Colossians 3, verse 15, we read, "Be ye thankful." This is why God has created us. So that in all things, we might give God thanks. And these words, the second half of verse 18, don't merely apply to the first half of verse 18, but they apply also to verses 16 and 17. Rejoice evermore, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Pray without ceasing, for this is the will of God in Jesus Christ concerning you. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Notice how personal this language is, too. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. For you who are in Christ Jesus, this is what God wants. And because God's will is the highest rule for our lives, for you and for me who are in Christ, this is our obligation to give thanks to God in everything. Well, in the Scriptures, we have some beautiful examples, don't we, of men and women who gave thanks to God, and who gave thanks to God because they knew this was God's will for them at this time in their life. In Acts 16, verse 25, when Paul and Silas were thrown into prison at Philippi, how did they react? We read that even though they were thrown into the innermost prison, the darkest part of the dungeon, and their feet were tied fast in the stocks, at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and gave praise to God. They thanked God at that time. Earlier on in the book, in Acts 5, verse 41, what was the reaction of the apostles when they were first thrown into prison and then beaten and commanded not to speak in the name of Jesus Christ again? We read there that they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for Christ's sake. And perhaps the most profound giving of thanks in the Scriptures is the giving of thanks that our Lord Himself gave the night before He was going to give His life on the cross. In Luke 22, verse 19, when Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, we read, and He took bread, and He gave thanks, and brake it. And He gave unto them, to His disciples, saying, this is My body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of Me. What was Jesus giving thanks for there, when just before He was about to break that bread? Well, no doubt Jesus had His eyes on the cross, and is on the walk that He would have to make up that hill to Golgotha to give His life, to suffer the agonies of God's wrath for your sins and mine. And at that time, Jesus was able to give thanks because He knew this was God's will for His life. This was how God was fulfilling His purposes with Jesus, how God was going to glorify Himself through Jesus. And these examples are given for our sakes, beloved. We are called to give thanks in everything just as Jesus was able to give thanks to God, even as He had His eye on the cross, suffering the wrath of God against our sins. What we need to realize here also is that this is really the essence of the Christian life. This is why you are a Christian. This is why God has given you in Christ, that you might give thanks. Thankfulness is the tenor of the Christian's life. It's that soft music, we might say, that soft music that's always playing in the background of the Christian's life. It's the theme, it's the chorus, the refrain of each day of the Christian. Morning, noon, and evening, thankfulness will make its way into the prayers of God's people. It's abnormal for the Christian, for the one who is in Christ, not to be thankful. To be upset, disgruntled, impatient, and unthankful, that's completely out of harmony with the life we have in Christ. And as Christians bought with the shed blood of Christ, our whole perspective ought to be this. Knowing what God has done for my soul in Jesus Christ, how can I show my gratitude to God in my life? And really, thankfulness is the best gauge we have for determining our spiritual health. Don't judge your spiritual health by your church attendance. Don't judge your own spiritual health by the money you put in the collection plate. Don't judge your spiritual health by your participation in Bible studies or in committees. But judge yourselves by asking yourself this question. Am I thankful? Am I glad for what God has done and is doing in my life? Am I glad God is working in my life as He is? Am I content, and can I express gladness with how God has chosen to glorify Himself in and through me? You see, when you ask yourself those questions, you're getting to the heart of the issue, aren't you? You're getting to the underlying attitude that's governing everything you do and you say. And that calls for some serious self-examination. Am I thankful? Am I glad? You know, when we look at that question, there are many things we find that can get in the way of showing true thankfulness to God, aren't there? Here are just a few of those things. We can often have a selfish attitude which robs us of the ability to give thanks to God. This is the attitude that says, I want my will to be done rather than God's will. And then when we see in our lives that our will isn't being done and God's will is being done, sometimes it can incline us to bitterness, to discontent, and it gives us no ability to be thankful. Another hindrance to giving thanks, impatience. With impatience, too, we're putting our wills and our desires before God. We're saying, I don't see how this could come out for my good if things don't move along faster in my life. Having an impatient heart makes it difficult for us to give thanks to God. Worldliness, greed, jealousy, envy, setting our affections on things below is going to make it impossible for us in the end to give true thanks to God. A critical attitude towards others, a critical attitude towards those closest to us, a critical attitude towards others in the congregation is going to rob us of the ability to give true thanksgiving to God. And then probably most of all, the greatest hindrance to giving true thanks to God, doubt. Doubting God's promises or doubting God's power or doubting God's wisdom. We see what's happening in our lives and we wonder, does God know what He's doing in my life? Or we wonder, does God have the ability to work this for my good? Or even we ask ourselves, is God working these things for my good? We question God's faithfulness. It gives us no ability to give thanks to God because we hold back our thanks because we're not putting our faith in God, seeing how these things can work out for our good. Are you thankful, beloved? Are you giving thanks in everything? Can you give thanks in the most difficult and trying circumstances of your life? Do you give thanks for the financial burdens that God places upon you? Do you give thanks for the weaknesses in your body, the illnesses and sicknesses that cause not only real physical pain, but fears and anxiety besides? Can you give thanks in the midst of death? Can you give thanks during those storms in your lives when God is leading you through deep valleys? Can you give thanks while you weep at your bedside at night? Can you give thanks while you come face to face with your own shameful sins? God's word comes to us this morning with that gentle command. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. But you say, how can I? How can I give thanks to God in my circumstance, in my situation in life? You don't know what I'm going through. You haven't walked in my shoes. How can I give thanks for this trial or hardship? Maybe you even want to give thanks, but But you hold back things because you're not sure it's right or appropriate for you to give thanks in such a situation. Well, beloved, when we look at ourselves, we find it will be impossible for us to give thanks. When our focus is on ourselves, we won't be able to give thanks. But we have to keep our eyes focused on Christ and on the goodness of God shown to us through Christ. It's only in the way of keeping our eyes on Christ that we can give thanks. And that's also the meaning of the second phrase in the text. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. This is God's will for your life as God's people. This is why God has placed you in Christ, so that you might give thanks to Him. What we need to remember in this is this. When God commands things of us, He also gives us the power and the ability to perform it. That's true when it comes to forsaking our sins. That's true when it comes to loving one another. That's true when it comes to giving thanks in everything. What God commands, He also gives us the power to perform. And God has given you in Christ exactly so that you might be able to give thanks to God in everything. For the unbeliever, true thanksgiving is impossible. First, the unbeliever doesn't acknowledge that all things come from God's providential hand. Second, even if the unbeliever did, he would still refuse to give God thanks, because he still wouldn't want God to receive any glory and praise. And third, ultimately, at bottom, the reprobate doesn't have anything to be thankful for, because everything that God sends his way isn't given with a gracious attitude of love and favor, but it's given that God's purposes might be fulfilled with him also or her. That was true with Pharaoh. God gave Pharaoh all those blessings in life, all those gifts and his situation in life, only so that God might harden Pharaoh's heart and that Pharaoh might fill up his cup of iniquity. You see, if God did have a gracious attitude of love towards an individual, then God would have chosen that person in Christ to be able to give him thanks in everything. For the believer, however, for the one who is in Christ, true thanksgiving is possible. And it's possible because we have those promises of God's Word. True thanksgiving is possible because we know the words of Romans 8, verse 28. We know that all things work together for good to them which are the called according to His purpose. We can give true thanks because we know the words of Jeremiah 29, verse 11, where God says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. And we can give thanks in everything because we know the words of 2 Corinthians 4, verse 15, where God tells us, for all things are for your sakes. It's possible ultimately because we have Christ and we have the promises of Christ. And in Christ and through Christ, we have the knowledge and the hope that the joys we have in Christ rise higher than the sorrows and struggles in our life. In Christ, everything is for our good. And in Christ, we are more than conquerors. And this is where this verse also stands in close connection with verses 16 and 17 as well. Because it's only in the way of doing these other things that we're going to be able to give thanks. Rejoice in Jesus Christ. It's only in the way of rejoicing in Christ that we're going to be able to give thanks in everything. And it's only when we pray without ceasing that we will have the spiritual strength to give thanks to God in everything. And if we're not rejoicing in Christ, if we're not praying without ceasing, then it's going to be very difficult for us to give thanks in everything. But doing these things, God also gives us the power to give thanks in everything. Beloved, the age we live in is a thankless age. People are greedy. People are selfish. People are impatient. And they're unhappy. But don't let the influence of this world take away the joy you have in Jesus Christ and the reasons you have for thanksgiving. Simply because many in this world don't have any reason for thanks, don't let that be an excuse for you to neglect to give God thanks in everything. In Christ we have everything, and focusing on Christ, we also have the grace to be thankful. Fulfill the will of God, beloved. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Amen. Let us pray. Father Almighty, we give Thee thanks. We give Thee thanks for Christ. We give Thee thanks for fulfilling Thy purposes and Thy will in our lives. We thank Thee that we have the knowledge that all things are for our good. All things are guiding us to our eternal home. And all things are done for Thy glory. And that is our ultimate desire and hope, that Thy name be glorified in everything. Give us the grace and the strength we need to give Thee thanks in everything. We are weak, and we can do this only by Thy grace. Help us in this day and day by day to show our thanks with an obedient life and with singing praises to Thee, having thankfulness as the theme of each of our days. Forgive our sins and keep us from sin. For Jesus' sake we pray. Amen.